Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, there are mistakes made here on the program on occasion. And when they do, we take full responsibility. The baseball card I ended up with 17 of when I tried to complete the top set back in 1978 was Elias Sosa, not Lee Elia or Elia.
Right.
But in a quick Google search, we found, and I'm going to tell you right up front, NSFW.
Wow.
Not safe for work.
No, sir.
However, if you want to hear Lee Elia Cubs rant, that's L-E-E-E-L-I-A, Cubs rant.
If you want to hear the greatest rant in the history of sports, and Doug, I don't think this is an overstatement. I just heard during the commercial break might be the single greatest rant I've ever heard in my life.
He was the manager of the Cubs, and he went off, and it was spectacular, and
we should find a way for, I mean, Evan's going to have to, it's going to take him an hour to edit it.
It would take hour plus to edit this.
But I think it's worth it.
It's not safe for work. It's not good for young ears. The rest of you have fun with it as much as you want. 248-539-9797.
You should at least tweet it out. With
that. No, I don't know that he should.
I think as long as you put the warning on there, you're fine, right?
Well, yeah.
But you have to put the warning on there. I think we should clean it up as best we can because it's amazing. Expletive laden, like that was his job, not being the manager of the Cubs.
I mean, it was fantastic.
Suffice to say, he's not happy with the Cub fans.
No,
after a 5-13 start.
Okay, so I love something my local team is doing. We'll get to that today at 11:20. Great point made by Dan Wetzel about our football team. That's at 11:30. Gator, I promise we get to this, so let me follow through on it. There is still no word on Jeff Blashill, the head coach. As of now, with the Detroit Red Wings. And, you know, they said things would happen quickly after the season. Steve Yzerman said that, but I guess it depends on your definition of quickly. Nothing has happened yet. The season ended a week ago tomorrow, and still no announcement. But there are other teams now looking for coaches.
I think there are five teams, I think, are looking for coaches.
And oftentimes they are choosing from the same pool of potential coaches, right? There's only so many guys that are qualified out there that make up the pool of coaching candidates the teams are going to interview.
There's a lot of retreads out there.
Sure.
And, you know, some teams may take a chance on somebody who hasn't proven themselves yet, but usually, you know, majority of them are retreads.
So if you take a pool, like we found odds to become the next Rangers coach, and you take the pool of those guys and you go, okay, who would you want here? And, you know, might give you a sense for what this offseason hiring cycle might look like in terms of those coaches available. So let's work our way through some of these names quickly as we get to one. The favorite to be the next Rangers coach is Gerard Gallant at 5-2.
Well, that's not going to make anybody happy.
No,
here.
People would want him. Bob Hartley is 7-2. Bruce Boudreau is 5-1. John Tortorella, Torts is 7-1. Claude Julien is 8-1. And at 9-1 in the pool of candidates. And if this guy's in the pool of interviewable candidates this offseason, oh my God, at 9-1 is Patrick Waugh. Stop and think about that for a second. Steve Eisenman at a podium, introducing. I don't even think I could say the words. I was going to say introducing the next head coach. I can't even say it.
Go ahead, give it a shot.
Nope. There's no way.
Well, Patrick Roy coached 3 years in the NHL. In his 3 years with the Colorado Avalanche as head coach, won 130 games and lost 92, with 24 overtime losses or ties. It's not a bad record.
It's not a terrible record, no.
But only made the playoffs in his first year there, and they lost in the first round in seven games. Then missed the playoffs the next 2 years, and he was gone. But it is it's an overwhelming winning record of 130, 92, and 24.
I mean, look, with everything, we circle back to how it could impact us. And this is one of those deals where he wouldn't possibly be in the running for the Detroit job, would he?
I can't.
First of all, I don't know how a goalie becomes a coach to begin with, but hey, sure.
Hey, I'd like to imagine it just to see the chaos that would ensue, but no, I don't think this could happen. I don't think that Steve Eisenman would ever subject Red Wing fans to bringing someone like Patrick Roy on board. I cannot see that at all. And that probably goes with anybody else that has ties to the Avalanche, like former coaches, like Bob Hartley, for example. I just don't know if that would ever happen, but what would the fan reaction be like if you found out that the names for the potential, you know, let's say that the Red Wings are going to move on from Blatchell, and then the names that come out are, you know, Patrick Roy and Mark Messier. Because Mess is apparently in the mix for the Rangers job as well. I mean, two guys have nothing to do with Detroit.
That would be...
other than history, you know, Mark Messier, part of those Oilers teams that knocked the Wings out of back-to-back conference finals, and then you've got, obviously, the history with Patrick Roy.
Hard to imagine.
Hard to imagine.
Yep.
But interesting nonetheless, because like I said, Patrick Roy was very successful right out of the gate with Colorado, but just didn't get it done, did not get it done in the playoffs. And then his style kind of wore out its welcome.
The whole idea of just even asking the question is one that's almost asked just to make people uncomfortable. I mean, which is generally not what we do here. But we saw these odds and you said, oh my God, how would that go over in Detroit? I'm like, I don't think it would go over in Detroit. And yet that was also in some ways, you could say, that was a million years ago. Right? Does it really matter what happened 20 plus years ago?
I think it still matters a little bit. Oh man. According to Wikipedia, on August 11th, 2016, Roy cited a lack of input in personnel decisions.
Yeah.
So he stepped down as the head coach and vice president of hockey operations for the Avalanche.
Yeah. But this goes back to something else I said. I mean, I guess if Eisenman does it, I'll give it a chance.
I would love to hear Steve Eisenman's reaction if asked that question. Steve, would you consider Patrick Roy for head coach? Like, how long before he just burst out laughing?
You want Steve Eisenman at a podium answering that question? Yeah. You want Steve Eisenman sitting around behind closed doors?
Well, I'd rather have the closed doors so you get the honest answer. But it'd be interesting to see what he does in front of a podium.
People are back in the building.
Some people are, yeah. But how would he react in front of a podium? Because could he withhold the laughter in front of cameras and microphones before he just berates somebody?
Right. I mean, that's one that if the question ever gets asked to him publicly in front of a camera, is that just a straight up troll question?
Like right.
Yeah. Kind of is.
Well, Steve, I saw that he was 9-1 odds to become the Rangers coach. I just thought maybe it makes sense to ask you this question. Would he say it's a clown question, bro?
Next question.
Would he call Bryce Harper or would he go all Bill Belichick?
Just here so I don't get fined. Brian, you're on ice. I want to take it. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Hey.
One guy that makes it possible that Patrick Waugh would be hired here, Chris Chelios. We hated that sucker. Mm-hmm. We hated him. And how long did it take us to love him again? Hello?
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between a player during that they can help your team out as a player. Coaches, I don't know. It just feels like it's different. Plus, it's different if Patrick Waugh had a pedigree where he was successful in the playoffs and then he was developing young talent and he had all the things that you're looking for as a Red Wings coach. You know, like Chelios was irritable on the ice. He was one of the great defensive defensemen during his prime. And, you know, did it make sense for the Red Wings to acquire him at the time? Yeah. I mean,
it did.
But at this, I guess it's kind of, it's fruit, but it's not apples and apples.
Well, okay. I don't know. I just remember wishing somebody would knock his head off every time we played.
It's funny because my memories of the dislike for Chelios pale in comparison to the dislike for Waugh and everything Avalanche for me.
Okay. Because I'm thinking back to my feelings. I was very conflicted when they traded for Chelios. I think it was 1999 at the trade deadline. That's when they traded for everybody that year with Bill Branford and Wendell Clark and Ulf Samuelson. I was very conflicted when they got Chelios because I couldn't stand him as a player. But deep down, I knew that was that type of player that the Red Wings needed. And Chelios was steady for the Red Wings, but he was nowhere near what he was with the Blackhawks or Canadiens.
Drew is on a sell. Hi, Drew.
Hey, guys. How are we doing today?
Okay.
I want to look at it this way. Mortal enemies can forge together and make an incredible force. I mean, we can look at all the Marvel movies, things like that. But look at what Steve Eiserman could do with Patrick Waugh. Bring everybody together that hated everybody and then just go kick some butt.
Join forces.
That's kind of what Steve Eiserman's trying to do. And I don't think he would laugh at that. I really don't.
So you think this is like Loki and Thor putting their differences aside and trying to take down Thanos?
Correct. I mean, I guess if you wanted to compare it to that gator, for sure. But
well, I mean, you're the one who brought up the superhero things. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out which superheroes come together.
Just take a look at how mortal enemies can come together and forge like a path. And now it's the Detroit Red Wings for the next 20 years again.
Yeah, I guess, look, I think it'd be interesting as all hell if something like this were to pan out. But first of all, the Red Wings haven't fired or rehired Jeff Blashill. We don't know what's going to happen there. But it's just interesting to us that we saw this with regards to the New York Rangers and that Patrick Waugh's name is out there as potential head coach because it's not that long ago that he was coaching the Colorado Avalanche.
Doug Karsh. Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Love something a local team's doing. Get to that in a minute. There's some feedback coming in here on this. We just looked at the list of candidates and, you know, still waiting word on Jeff Blashill as his future as Red Wings head coach. And there was odds out to be the next Rangers coach and Gerard Gallant's the favorite 5-2. And I think a lot of people would like that here, but I don't know that that's in the cards at this time to spend big money on a coach. But of the candidates, one of the 6th favorite is Patrick Waugh. And look, I'm sure when you look at the pool of candidates this offseason, this cycle of coaching hires, a lot of the names will be repeat, considered at different places and interview for different jobs. But here you got Patrick Waugh. How would that play in Detroit?
Yeah, not well.
248-539-9797. Andrew in Rochester. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
What's up?
You know what? I actually approve of the move. If it got to that point, if Stevie Y thought that was the right move, because, and here's why, didn't we put our Detroit's beef with Patrick Waugh to sleep when we beat them 7-1 in 2002? I mean, I think Patrick Waugh got pulled in that game in the third period after like 6-0. I think that was us saying we win that beef individually with Patrick Waugh, and to be honest with you, I think it would piss off the Avalanche, you know, fan base if we did that. So I think that's an upside for us. But again,
I don't know.
If he's got all the right stuff.
They have just got the top seed overall in the playoffs. I don't think they care.
Well, it would piss them off if eventually Waugh built a winner here and we took them down.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but You know, it's an interesting thought. Look, could if it's good for the team, I don't know that people would care all that much.
I can't. Well, yeah, but the point, and then you do one little stick the next toe in the water. You don't have to go that deep to say, I don't know if he's got the resume to show that he belongs anywhere in the NHL anymore.
Yeah, it's weird he's been out of the game. He hasn't. Has he coached for the last 5 years?
No.
He said he stepped down in 2016.
Stepped down in 2016.
He's not coached anywhere.
No, I don't think he's even in the minors because he's – well, that's not true. He coached again in the minors in 2018, 2019 was his last year coaching. And he went 27, 28, and 13 and lost in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I would say that his resume, I mean, being out of the game that long is a little strange. Tony's in Taylor, and he's on 97.1. Hi, Tony.
How you doing?
What's up?
Well, I got to meet Chelios back in the day when he had the bar in Dearborn, and I told him the story how me and my brother and my buddy's dad, who was a Southern guy, Chelios couldn't even put a skate on the ice, and my buddy's dad would be like, damn, Chelios. And we despised him, and then when we found out the Red Wings were getting him, my brother and I were like two little kids. We were ecstatic, and I got to tell Chelios this story, and he closed his bar one night and kept he let people hang out after hours, and it was pretty special, you know. I mean, getting someone who's just a legend from some other city, I think it's awesome.
Well, and Chelly endeared himself to the community too when he came here, and he had friends that were on the team at the time. So it made an easier transition with the team as opposed to the fans. But then the fans eventually were okay with it. I don't know if Patrick Roy has that same kind of personality. I think Patrick Roy rubs everybody the wrong way.
It feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
possible, but he might be just what you need in a coach, and just. You know, be all business and come in to do that single job and make it happen.
Doug, am I hearing this right from some of the callers so far? That the listeners, it seems like if this is just what I'm extrapolating out of this information. If given the choices between Patrick Roy and Jeff Blashill, does it sound like Red Wing fans are like Patrick Roy?
Patrick Roy.
I mean, is Blashill that polarizing? Or is it just that much confidence in Steve Yzerman to do the right thing? Am I reading too much into it?
It might be people that are picking up the phones and calling us want to tell us we're wrong about there being an issue with Patrick Roy. But
is this weird?
It is kind of weird. All right. We'll get to more of your feedback phone calls on this. I love something the Detroit Pistons are doing. I think one of the most underrated things for sports fans and kids growing up and even adults, I think one of the most underrated things is a high quality, full court outdoor basketball court. One that is, first of all, the rims are actually 10 feet.
Yeah.
They are perpendicular to the ground. There's no bend up or bend down.
The court is flat.
Level. Level with few cracks. Paved with something other than blacktop asphalt that is slippery. You know, some sort of surface where you can get some traction. I dare we say with lines.
I was like going to say, lane, free throw line and
a three-point line. You start getting into the courts like an outdoor, high-quality, full-court basketball court is one of life's most underrated gems. And when you find one, no matter where you are, you go back there always looking for a game. If the court is of high quality, right?
Yeah.
Because you can find a crappy basketball court anywhere. They're all over the place. And, you know, they're kind of like, hey, nice try, but, you know, this is slanted and one hoop is 10 feet, 8 inches and the other one's 9'7".
Right.
And the rim is bent and the backboard's tiny. Like, I hate those tiny little circular backboards. I like the big
semicircle.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There'll be ones where they'll have the square on the backboard, but the basket's like connected halfway up the square. Right, so you get this weird. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be wrong with an outdoor basketball court. And many of us have played on them, But the Pistons joined with the Detroit Parks and Recreation and announced yesterday that they are done with phase three of refurbishing basketball courts in the city of Detroit. They just got 13 done. You know, places like Charlotte Park, Maryam Mahaffery Park, Romanowski Park, Lasky Park, all have new Piston. I saw a picture and I'm like, they're doing it. They're putting in the high quality. The picture I saw had a glass backboard. I'm in an outdoor glass backboard basketball court, and they're entering into phase four. 23 more courts will be done by the end of the year. It's part of $2.5 million they are putting into the city to refurbish or build or revitalize 60 outdoor basketball courts in Detroit. And in my opinion, there's nothing like a great outdoor basketball court. If you are playing pickup basketball, you and your boys are going somewhere, the high-quality full court is a hidden gem.
High-quality full courts anywhere, yeah, absolutely. They're awesome. But then I start thinking, when I played outdoor hoops when I was younger, what did I love the most about it? Was it, you know, whether or not you wanted to play jam ball because the rims were lower, like 9 feet?
There was a place for that.
Yeah, there was a place for that. Was it the sound of the ball going through the chains?
The chains.
As opposed to a net? And this sounds like there's definitely not going to be 9 foot rims and definitely not chains for nets. Although maybe it is chains for nets, but it doesn't sound like it.
Let me look at this picture.
No, I doubt it. They'll probably have some nice nets. NBA nylon nets.
Nets. And they should be, but there's something to me about the chain net. I love the outdoor chain net.
The sound it makes is totally different and it's great, but except, you know, it's always bad because as a kid, most of us could not touch the rim, right? So what do? You touch the net.
Yeah.
And the fear is you get your fingers stuck
right.
in there.
That's exactly right.
Skin comes off.
You're going to lose a finger,
exactly,
man.
Exactly, but you still do it anyway.
Let's also remember that just having a net is a requirement. Trying to play basketball
with a rim with no net
is...
Outdoor courts, it happens all the time.
It happens all the time.
And it makes an outdoor court suck.
Yep.
And when
was
you're
that
young,
an air ball or was that all, you know, was that... Was that all net with no net?
You end up calling your friends. Hey, dude, can you stop by at Dunham's and pick up a net?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you always, especially if you play at the same court all the time. Yeah. Hey, the net's getting bad. We got to put one up.
Yeah, the one kid who was, you know, had the ups enough where he could grab the rim, and then he's like hanging on the rim. And
or you get a guy in the shoulders.
And or you put the guy in the shoulders.
Human ladder, yeah. And you
somebody pulls a car onto the court.
Some duct tape. Oh, it's great. See, the thing is, the Pistons, what they're doing is great, Doug. You're right. But these are going to be really nice courts.
Really nice.
When I was growing up, I was very, very, very much into basketball and one in the 2000s, and that was a lot of street ball. I would drive around and look for basketball courts, any basketball court I could see in Southeast Michigan, okay? The thing about that was it's kind of like baseball parks. They're all different.
Yep.
Sometimes if you have the two rims, a full court, you know one of those rims ain't 10 feet. You know, this one's like 9-10.
Yep.
That one maybe is 10 feet. Sometimes they have a net chain. Yep. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they have the double rim. The backboard's all weird. There's a curb where the pole is. You know, it's like it's crazy.
Sometimes the pole is coming out of the ground and the concrete around it's raised up, but it's on the court. And
the hazard.
All the problems with the outdoor basketball court. Good for the Pistons. I love this story.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.